Hello and welcome to Pro You Podcast, episode number 433, Return to Awareness. Sounds like a dope title. I can't take the credit. Having an amazing conversation with Mr. Mosier. And I had recently been talking about, you know, getting my body to feel a certain way, like it returned to zero. And if I can get it straight, you know, certain areas tight, loosened up, vertebrae aligned, then I can work out. But I just started saying, you know, I got to return to zero. And we were talking about, you know, meditation and how people struggle with it. And it's like, you know, it's just being okay with returning. You know, you're on that path and you get a little lost and you return to the path. He goes, that's the thing. He goes, return to awareness. And as soon as he said it, I wrote it down. I'm like, I love how that sounds. But we had great chats, me and Senior Mosier all the time. It just seems like every session we have a conversation and I'm moved or affected in one way or another. So I share that. I had another panic moment. I shared a story where I broke a key to a safe I have and what I went through. Same kind of situation happened. And again, I was just aware of how it affected me, what I felt, and then how I felt after. And just looking at that was very, very, very interesting. I got some quotes I share because quotes are awesome and you need them in your life. And I have an article on imagery from Buddha Groove. I have a couple cool client stories that I'm fired up to share. Went back to the dentist. And it's a good time to be me. And I just, like I said, I looked down and I had notes and I had a title. And I'm like, wow, I can put another podcast out. And I just felt good because I was like trying. You know, like, oh, it's Thursday and should I? I was just like, no, I got stuff. Let me just sit down. And it's like when I got, you know, good news. It's like it's fun to share good news. It's exciting to share good news. And, you know, it's kind of a good place. And I'm happy to be me and thankful for my life, my clients, what I'm going through. And again, with what's going on in the world right now, to me, there's just so much to be thankful for that, you know, what I'm not going through, what I don't have to experience, what I'm not subjected to. You know, like I just look at my life sometimes as how easy I have it, and I'm completely humbled, and I'm then grateful, and that just grows. And anything happens where I'm learning or affected, or I get a nice day, I'm again just sitting in a place of gratitude. So, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, and I appreciate you. If you need to shout out, I am here. Bunch of ways to contact me on social media. If you'd like a trainer, cheerleader, like to just chat, share your story, I am here and would love to hear from you. So thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and enjoy. Hello, it's Tom, Pro You Guy. Here are some quotes. As you heal, your attractions change too. Toxicity stops looking like excitement, and peace stops looking like boredom. Someone told me the other day that he felt bad for single people because they are lonely all the time. I told him that's not true. I'm single and I don't feel lonely. I take myself out to eat. I buy myself clothes. I have great times by myself. Once you know how to take care of yourself, company becomes an option and not a necessity. That was actually Keanu Reeves. All you really need to do is accept this moment fully. You are then at ease in the here and now and at ease with yourself. Eckhart Tolle. As your frequency upgrades, your intuition becomes stronger. You will notice how much other people's energy actually affects you. The more spiritually attuned you become, the more sensitive you are to energy in general. Keep your circles pure, sacred, and small. Destroy the idea that you have to be constantly working or grinding in order to be successful. Embrace the concept that rest, recovery, reflection are essential parts of the progress towards a successful and happy life. Your energy, what you choose to focus on, affects every area of your life. Danny Morrell. Don't be so hard on yourself. You are only supposed to climb those mountains, not carry them. The best thing you can do for yourself right now is grow into a better person. Let go of the attachment. Keep the lessons it taught you and take time to make your soul happy. Sometimes you have to accept the fact that certain things will never go back to how they used to be. Life goes on. Life gives us exactly the teacher we need at every moment. This includes every mosquito, misfortune, red light, traffic jam, obnoxious person, illness, loss, moment of joy, depression, addiction, piece of garbage, breath. Every moment is the guru. The world is not here to make you happy. The world is here to make you conscious. Bum, 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 bum. Eckhart Tolle. If you fuel your journey of the opinions of others, you are going to run out of gas. Steve Maraboli. When you come to a point where you have no need to impress anybody, your freedom will begin. Consciousness is the new sexy. Inner peace, the new success. Kindness, the new beautiful. My acceptance of my reality is my contentment, TJD. The wise man accepts his pain, endures it, but does not add to it. All right, last one. Five exercises to help you get started with stoicism. Ask, is this within my control? The single most important practice in Stoic philosophy is differentiating between what we can control and what we can't, what we have influence over and what we do not. Then we focus on what is within our control. 2. Train perception to avoid good and bad. There is no good or bad to the practicing Stoic. There is only perception. You control perception. Memento mori. Meditate on your death. You could leave life right now. Let that determine what you do and say and think. Marcus Aurelius. Practice negative visualization. Imagine things that could go wrong or be taken away from us. It helps us prepare for life's inevitable setbacks. 5. Love everything that happens. Treat each and every moment, no matter how challenging, as something to be embraced, not avoided. That's just good stuff right there, people. And you just got all of that condensed, highlighted for free. Is it not fantastic? So I got an article from Buddha Groove. Allowing meaningful imagery to point the way. I've always been a visual person, and you know, when I look at my home, when I look at what I wear, my shirts. That was a really loud boom. I have no idea what that was. Oh, life is just fun. I don't know if maybe you did hear that, but there's just a really loud boom in Hollywood. And it is 7 a.m. Zen even got up. It's okay. You can go lay down. It's all right. You can go lay down. Go ahead. So back to the imagery. So I'm just a really visual person. As I said, when I look at something in my house, how it affects me when I look at it, to, you know, what's on my, you know, shirts, my T-shirts, when I look at it, to my tattoos. So I just thought this was kind of cool, and it really kind of resonated with me. I don't know that it will resonate with others, but here it is. on the surface, and it gets into something else that I'm into, so you'll understand my connection with this article. On the surface, the Zen Cairn is an organized stack of rocks. The human influence is undeniable. Finding rocks arranged in this manner in nature would be rare. However, their meaning goes far beyond what is seen on the surface. And so it is true of all meaningful symbols and imagery. Just as with many spiritual teachings, the words and symbols are pointers to something that defies definition or explanation. However, their value lies in inspiring us along the path and connecting us with the source of all forms. The following are amongst some of the popular imagery. The lotus flower. The lotus is a beautiful flower that blooms because of the mud in which it is mirrored, not in spite of it. This makes it an ideal and revered symbol for enlightenment. Koi fish. Just as fish do not fear drowning in water, humans should not fear drowning even in an ocean of suffering. Instead, allow new challenges to lead you toward the truth of Buddha nature. I'm all about the koi. I'm all about the koi. The endless knot. Endless knot imagery depicts a line or flow that has no beginning and no end. This makes it an ideal symbol of infinite Buddha nature, as well as a depiction of the world of form. Dependent, arising, and linear time are woven within the eternal. The forces of duality may be in opposition, but they are also in unity, in harmony in the universe. Bamboo. The bamboo plant is extremely popular in the East and symbolizes simplicity, balance, humility, and the ability to bend with the wind. This aligns beautifully with the essence of Zen Buddhist teachings. Tea kettle. Tea is the favorite drink in Eastern countries and Buddhist cultures. Tea is ideally sipped slowly and mindfully, not rushed through. The process of making tea can also be an ideal opportunity for mindfulness and focusing on the present moment, seen in many movies. I think it was The Last Samurai that came to mind. Pagoda. The pagoda is a striking tiered structure with each tier's roof sloping upward at the edges. The design originated in India and came to the East as the Buddha's teachings spread and grew in popularity. They can be used as tombs or stupas, places of meditation that help anchor mindful contemplation. And the last one is the stone cairn. C-A-I-R-N-S. Zen cairns are small stacks of natural stones that get smaller with each stone toward the top of the structure, i.e. like a pyramid. They can be made out in nature or created in a garden. Smaller cairns can function as meditation tool that can be carried with you or kept on a desk. Cairns symbolize positive direction and the safe, natural movement of the Bodhisattva on their path toward enlightenment. While symbols are forms arising out of the empty, eternal space that is Buddha nature, they are also elegant and inspiring pointers to it. Connect the imagery that speaks to you and allow it to assist you along your path toward higher consciousness. So that was kind of cool. I mean, I look at things for, you know, obvious reasons, but I just like when things are kind of organized and written out and they kind of capture the essence of what was in my mind, what I was thinking about, what I was going through. And one thing popped into my mind when I was going to sit down and record, and it was kind of the, based on, look, if I have something to say, I'm going to, you know, share it. It's not, I got to say something every Thursday. And I was just, you know, reflecting on what I share. And I'm like, you know, people on social media, it's like, oh, here's what I had for breakfast and I'm in traffic. You know, it's kind of like day-to-day, play-by-play, moment-by-moment stuff that is completely not relevant to anyone else. And I never want to be that way. And I was thinking like, well, you know, I tend to share a lot. I think I've literally in the last 7 years, probably shared 98% of my life. I mean, there's just not a lot of mystery left in my life. And a wonderful client stated, and I've stated a bunch of times, you know, your message is out there, now you're just executing it. And I'm like, so I don't need to, you know, kind of share just to share. It's like when I have something to say. And then, you know, I make notes and I look at them and I'm like, you know, I'm always kind of like, oh, is it just this? Hey, I got up and then I ate and then I had this thought. And then, you know, like, who cares about your schedule, so to speak? But what hit me was it's almost automatic that the things I write down have affected me, thus have stayed in my mind. And I now, why is that in my mind? Why is that staying in my mind? Why can't I get it out of my mind? And it just kind of ends up going on this list, and then I talk about it. What happens then? It's gone. I've written it down. I've spoken about it. I've released it. I've let it go. If you don't share it, if you don't write it down, if you don't release it, you carry it. So it's really, I mean, I've always said it, this podcast has helped me heal. And it continues because, you know, I'm not seeing a therapist. I don't talk to a bunch of people. Mosher and I have amazing chats. But it's, you know, all the other stuff. You know, I don't run to Scott and go, hey, here's everything that I've been going through. You know, I mean, I don't do that. But it's minimized and kind of prioritized and organized. And then I share it on the podcast. But it is typically written down, you know, halfway out and then spoken about and fully out. What's then? The space. What happens to that space that you've created? The good that lies within you rises. And you start feeling better, and not because anything external has changed. And I just thought that was a cool thing. You know, it's never lost on me what the podcast has done to me. And there it was. It kind of came up in a different light, so to speak. So I was just minding my own business one day. Oh, and I got a message from a dude, and he was on the podcast, Phil Catadal, and it was a trainer in LA. Him and his brother got cancer, his father died of cancer, and he's just like a wonderful dude, super bright, like he's got photographic memory, super intelligent. All of his siblings are crazy successful, but just a really, really good, solid dude that I really respected and admired. And, you know, he had a lot of pressure on him. You know, it's like I forgot his sister's, I think, a doctor, and his brother's super successful, wrote a book, published, you know what I mean, like crazy. It's like, you have to be super successful in my family. You know what I mean? You just can't, well, I'm going to take the easy road. And now he's married and with children before, but I think he's got like 4 kids now. And I'd look at him and I'm like, I just really admire and like this guy. So we don't chat a lot. He moved, I don't even know where, Kansas, someplace. He moved out of LA. Less expensive when you have a big family to get a big old house and chill. So all of a sudden I'm online and I get a message. Love you, Tom. How are you doing? I reply, consistently thankful. And this is from Phil. You are amazing. I was just like, what? I was like, where did this come from? I want you to know I always follow your posts and adventures. Your attitude and existence inspire me. I'm grateful we crossed paths. And I was just like, wow, like did not see that coming at all. But, you know, it's funny, just it really filled me up like for that day, that moment. Because here's a guy, you know, like no reason to reach out, no reason to say anything. I think he moved over a year ago, you know, had another baby. He's crazy busy with his life. And in that moment just really affected me, really, really, really filled my cup. And it was like this little moment, but a cool moment. Here's another little moment. So I mentioned this friend, mentoree, in the past a bunch of times. actually had his own podcast episode, Joe Ringinari. And every so often, since we used to chat every month as a mentor-mentoree, and probably haven't done that in about, I would say, maybe 2 years. But every so often, I get an update from him. This is what's going on. This is how I'm feeling. This is what I looked at. And it was always kind of cool because he was always thankful, grateful, and I really appreciated that. Like, he never lost sight of what him and I shared and experienced. And his updates were never like whining or complaining. They were like, this is what's going on. This is how I looked at it. This is what I, you know, like, I remembered what you said, or I applied it, you know, and this is where I am. And, you know, it was just always an awesome, like, I would read almost every update that Joe has probably ever sent me. And here's the shortest and the best. Hi, Tom. Nothing to report. Just thinking of you and hoping you and Zen are well. Now, on the surface, it's one line. And it's not a long, you know, 2-3 paragraph update that I normally get. And on the one hand, you could be like, wow, didn't feel like sharing, not much going on, you know, he's bored, whatever. Or why didn't I get a longer update? Or because I know that Joe had a second child not too long ago, a little baby girl. And then holidays. And I know he has a relative that's struggling with their health, a close relative. So I looked at that and I went, here's the best Joe ever. And I replied, appreciate that, Joe. To me, this update shows you know most of what you need to. Executing it consistently will always be a challenge. So good thing you're the best you that you've ever been. Thank you for keeping me posted, my friend. And then I text him after I had a client. I said, I just spoke about you and your text with a client. I said to this client, I said, I know there's stuff. And I know Joe knows that there's stuff. And it is the fact that he didn't need to share any of it is a direct statement of how badass he has become at being him and becoming a better him. And I said in the text, and I mean that. You weren't looking for it, but that's the best compliment I can give someone. You're the best version of you. Fact. Congrats, Joe. Embrace, accept, welcome, and own all that. And he replied, I really believe that's true, and I really appreciate you saying so. Thanks as always. And that's what I love about our relationship. You know, he could have said, hey, you know, second child, this and that, the health thing, the new year, COVID's not done, work, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, what is talking going to do about it? I'm handling it. I know what it is. If I say ABC, I know exactly what Tom would say. It's in my head. I don't need to. I'm fine, which is his big line. And when you're there, and it's halfway through his first line, thinking of you. See, I said about my brother, when your stuff is piled up so high, you can't even see other people's stuff. My brother one day said he was complaining to my sister, who at that time was dying. And he didn't see anything wrong. And I'm like, you know, here's Joe going, I'm handling it. I don't really need to say much, but haven't talked to you in a while, and I just wanted to say hi, let you know I'm thinking of you. And I'm like, this guy's the busiest he's ever been, most overwhelmed he's ever been, but he's also the best he's ever been. Therefore, he can think of others. That's when you know you're the best you, is when you can think of others. You're not all up in your head about you. And it just fired me up. It was just, like I told him, like the best, shortest text update I've ever got, and loved it. Loved every, and it's just growth. You know, I've been talking to that dude for years. You know, I think he started listening at the beginning of the podcast 7 years ago. And I don't know exactly when we started talking, but man, to get that text, it just filled me. So another client experience, this gal named Madeline I've mentioned a few times. She took a road trip a while back by herself, drove across country for 2 weeks all by herself. And during that trip, I had this sense that she had arrived to this place, this level, this phase. And I just told her, like, the next week, I go, I don't think you'll ever go backwards. I think you arrived at a level that you will stay at and continue to vibrate higher. And since then, she's not gone backwards. Has a couple dips like we all have, but nothing that did what it did to her. Just how things don't affect me like they used to in the past. And then it was the next week, and then it was the next week, and then she kind of hit a little rough day, but she explained it, and then she came back, and she was just like understanding it, and she was calmer, and she was peaceful, and she was just looking at her life with clarity, and she realized it was fine, and she's fine. Everything is fine, and if she stays in the moment, it's actually pretty dope being her. And I was just like, I think you've become an 8. And she did a little clap. And I'm like, you know, a 7. 6 is like you're bad. I only kind of really talk about a 6, 7, 8, 9. That's it. 6 is like you're bad. Because if you're a 4 or 5, you're not talking to anybody. You're not reaching out. You're, again, that's just my little thing I made up. 6 is where you start looking. What should I do? Should I work out? Should I go to therapy? Should I stop eating what I'm eating? Should I, you know, you don't like where you are. You've hit a Y in the road. Seven is you start going, okay, I got to do some stuff. But when I do that certain specific stuff that serves me, I'm going to feel better. And that is going to be the light at the end of the tunnel. That's what's going to lead me out of this darkness. Not a lot of fun, but, you know, hey, I see the upside. And 8 starts accepting it. Like, when I do A, I get B. And if I do C, I get D. It's on me. It's not going to be super easy, but I'm going to get better. So if I'm deeming myself worthy, I acknowledge that I'm in a better place. And I will therefore not go backwards, not whine, not complain. And I will continue to stay thankful. That's an 8. You just start getting the big picture. You're not great at it, but you're getting it. Like, you're really going, okay. And why would you go backwards? It would have to be like a conscious effort to do worse. And no one's going to do that. And those are those moments, man. Like, again, I made up the whole scale thing, and it's my thing. It might not resonate with anybody. I mean, I can just see it. And when you're talking to someone that you've talked for a long time, and they nod their head, and they agree with you when you're talking about them, you know you're on the right path. You know, I'm always telling my clients, like, look, I'm telling you stuff that you know. No one just said it to you out loud. So you're agreeing. I'm not telling you stuff you don't know about you. Just haven't thought about it. Maybe haven't looked at it a certain way. But those are the rewarding moments, you know, as a trainer, is when these people just, boom, here you go. I'm at another level. And very rewarding. And I appreciate being in people's lives. So this is kind of trippy. So I carry a money clip, little copper clip, my license, ATM card, cash. Real simple. And in the past, I've, you know, lost keys or misplaced stuff. And that's one of the things, like, you know, I got into fender benders, I was moving fast, I was stressed, I'd make mistakes, you know, lock myself out. Those things, that kind of stuff doesn't really happen anymore. Maybe the joy of personal growth, slowing down, being more focused, being more present, but those little mishaps don't really happen. So I walk in the house and I got this little tray and hook, keys go in it, sunglasses, my little money clip, chapstick, you know, just where I put it every day. Leave, come home, boom. Leave, come home, boom. Clockwork. And this one day I go walking over and I go to it and I'm like, my money, I'm like, where would my money, you know, I'm not going to put my money clip anywhere else. So it's like that heartbeat, dun, 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 dun. And I start going like, and I'm like, okay, well, a lot of times there are things that I, you know, put 5-6 different things in my pockets, you know, getting out of my car so I can carry my, you know, water bottle and the leash and groceries or whatever. So if my pockets are full and I got, you know, when I get in my car, I take the stuff out of my pockets, you know, that I was carrying and I put them in the little trays and stuff. So there's moments when I forget stuff. So I kind of quickly go down to my car going, I might have just left it in the car. So where I keep it in my car, I look, it's not there. And I'm like, oh. So I start thinking about, okay, I got to get a new license. I got to get a new ATM card. I'm thinking I don't think I had more than like $20 cash because I was thinking, where did I go yesterday? You know, where did I use it? What did I do? Because it was probably like 11 in the morning, 10, no, probably 10, 10 or so or 11 in the next morning. And right when I looked at it, I'm like, okay, I haven't touched it. Why is it not there? And I'm like, okay, these are the shorts I had. They're not in the pocket. It's not in the car. And I got to go to a store where I need my license. And I just start thinking about kind of all the headache now. Like, okay, I can't go to that store because I don't have a license. And I get my passport and I call this place. And they're like, yeah, you can use a passport instead of a license if it's not expired. And my passport's expired. So there's kind of this, ah. And then I'm like, okay, I got to go to the DMV. And I started thinking about tomorrow and, you know, when to go to the DMV. And I was just going to, you know, get in the car and go to the bank. I don't have my ATM card. So I was like, it was just this feeling, you know, of kind of just kind of yuck and not bad, bad, bad. It wasn't horrible, but just like, what do I need to do now? And all of a sudden this little moment pops into my head. Like maybe it fell out of your pocket, which is the left side on the kind of the door side. Because I didn't look there. And I'm like, but it never falls out. I kind of got these shorts with deep pockets. But I do, you know, fill them up. And when I get in and out of the car, you know, you know, stuff has fallen out before. It's happened. So I go walking out to the car, open my driver's side door. Boom, there's the money clip. Put it in my pocket, look back in the sand. Because since I'm waiting like 45 minutes, I went outside, I went back in. I told them we're going for a walk. Then I'm told we're going to the store in the car. Then I'm like, well, we don't have to go, or we can't go in the car because I don't have my ATM card. So we're just going to go for a walk. Let me go back to the car again. So he's just following me around up and down as I'm going through this whole thing. And it was the funniest thing because what I noticed right away, it was just like the safe when I broke the key and I thought I had, you know, broke it off locked. And I'm like, what do I do now? And I'm like, oh, my God, just, and I had left it open. So I lifted it out, took the stuff out. I'm like, oh, just throw the safe away. I had all this yuck in my, I'm like, well, just see if you can get an replacement key. And $7 later, I had got a replacement key. Kept the safe. Everything's fine. But I was like, wow, where my heart, where my mind, you know, my heartbeat, where my mind went. And that, I think it was probably like half an hour when that happened with the safe. And this was probably, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes, you know. And I just stopped and I was just like, okay, what was that like? What did I feel? I was aware. And that gets back to the title, which I'm getting to, but being aware of what I went through in that time period, you know, what I went through with the safe and what I went through with the money clip. And I'm like, someone like pushes a button and says, okay, heart rate increases, breath shorten, tension in chest. And then your mind, monkey mind starts going nuts. And then, but both times when it was done, it was complete joy. I was like, I got this safe a long time ago. I'm like, I don't know if I got a key and how do I get this stuff? I'm like, it's out. It's not locked. I can get a key. Yeah. It was just like I won. Like there was this victorious moment. And same thing. I mean, I went for that walk with Zen and I was the happiest dude in the world. like, and it was like $16 or something I had on my money clip. I'm like, I don't have to get a new license. I don't have to get an ATM card. After I walk in, I can go run errands. I can go to that place where I need my ID now. I don't have to go to the DMV on Monday because it was Sunday. So I was thinking about all the stuff I had to do. And I was like, that's just trippy. Like nothing really happened. But I went from, let's say, a state of normal to a state of panic to a state of relief to a state of joy, and nothing happened. Nothing physically, like literally happened. It was just, oh, I found a leaf. I turned the leaf over and then I kept walking. Like it's all it is if you take out all that stuff. But I'm like, wow, again, I'm not going, hey, okay, I think I lost my money clip. Okay, heart rate increase, breath shorten, chest tighten. I'm not signaling any of that. I'm not doing any of that. But I was really becoming aware of it. But like where in that, that period with the key, the safe, and the money clip, in that hour, 45 minutes, the ride, the journey. And I was like, that's it. I mean, it was real. It was vivid. I'm like, I got to remember this stuff. Like, I don't know how to, okay, heart rate, don't increase. I have no clue how to get there. But just being able to look at it and see it and recognize it and go, okay, that's happened twice now. And if I did, lock my stuff in that safe, I just was like, okay, there's going to be a way to get into it. Maybe I got to wreck the safe when I throw the safe. I don't care. But when I really looked at it, it's like, I'm not going to lose the stuff inside this. Oh, it's locked forever. I can't get into it. And this, like, okay, you got to get a new license and a new ATM card. Like, if that's the worst thing you got to deal with, yes, it's time and it's whatever. But it's like, you go to where it's like, oh, it's really bad. Like, the feelings I had were just bad compared to, okay, the reality of it. Next note is I did go back to the dentist and it was cool and that I didn't think about it at all. Like it was a week later, the next Thursday. It was early in the morning, like 9:30. So I had like a client, dealt with Zen, drove there and was like, I had the normal kind of like heart stuff a little bit. Like it felt like, okay, I could tell I was, like I had drank a bunch of coffee. And when I got in pretty soon and I was pretty calm. And the coolest thing was when I went the first time, checked my blood pressure, it was 147 over 97. He's like, wow, that's high. And I'm like, I understand that. I just don't feel it. And I chatted with him for a moment about all the kind of stuff I had gone through. So I said, when I walk in, I kind of get that, but I go, I really don't feel it. He goes, let me check it again. And it was 127 over 87. And it dropped in 2 minutes and it was almost normal. So I go back, dentist part two. I'm sitting in the chair, checks the blood pressure, and it was 120 something, over 80 something, like immediately the first one. And I was kind of smile. Like I was like, that's kind of cool. Like it's never been, they come in and it's always been high when I come in. You know what I mean? Like my blood pressure's up and I'm amped. And so to go in and not feel that. But here was a little thing that I noticed. I wasn't really the week before doing all the breathing and doing all the visualizing. I was like, okay, I did that. I'm done. And I could tell I wasn't as grounded when it started. Like I could tell I was kind of like, oh, I'm a little in my head. And I'm a little like, okay, this isn't really comfortable. And I was like, okay, that's... And I was like, okay, kind of go back to it. It got done about the same time I left, but I could tell. I could tell it wasn't as good as the first time. But in comparison, it's Dragon Slade. So I'm reading the book, In Love with the World, a little bit every day, which is rewarding and I feel good about. And one of the things that caught me was, he was talking about one of his, teachers, and this guy was just highly respected and revered, and dude spent a ton of time in the mountains. searching for enlightenment, and he had found it, and he just felt so good he wanted to come out of the mountains and really start teaching and have an effect on people directly. And he had a dream that his teacher came to him and said, no, you will have a larger impact on people continuing to do what you're doing, so stay in the mountains. And it was just kind of this weird thought where it's like, you know, humans, I'm like, hey, what am I? I always say, what am I going to do when I grow up? And I'm like, well, what are you going to do in retirement? What are you going to do? Like, what are you not really working on? Like, what are you going to do, you know, coming up? Like, what's the next kind of thing? And I'm going, and it just hit me like, you know, I mean, I got some clients that make a bunch of money and have a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, they listen to me. You know, they respect me. I'm like, well, how do I have an effect on those people? I don't have as much as them. I don't have as much money, as much power, as much success, as much anything. I'm like, I have the power that I have because of the walk that I walk. And it's like this thing of going, you know, just stay doing what you're doing. You know, be that kind of monkish dude that lives in Hollywood that no one else is like, and you got a podcast and you hang out with your dog. And you walk through the neighborhood without a leash or collar. And you go to the beach with them. And you bounce, you know, just keep doing you. And I was like, that's how I'll probably, and I've said it before, you know, just being you is a dream, you know, a wish, a hope. Like Tom Brady said it, just being you has an impact on the world. And I'm like, God, that's just a great line. And I think if I just keep being me, doing me, living my life as is, when it's done, the life I've led will have more of an impact of, well, what am I going to do now? Am I going to write a book? Am I going to, you know, what's that? It's just how I'm living. And it was just kind of cool. It made me feel good. And this is kind of where I was having a chat with Mosher. And we got really, really, really deep. And I was saying, you know, this big thing in that book in Buddhism is, you know, death and rebirth. And I said, you know, I think that's something I'm really doing well at. I haven't been conscious of it, but it was like, you know, the old part of you dying and a new part of you born, you know, this rebirth. It's like, okay, that I don't, I thought of all the things I don't do, all the things that I'm, well, I'm a martial artist and I'm an actor and I'm this and I'm, I mean, all those kind of titles are just falling away and there's this new, you know, me emerging, I'm evolving, I'm, you know, my personal growth is what I focus on. So I kind of felt that, like, I'm not bummed, like, oh, I was working out hard. I'm like, yeah, I don't really work out hard. I can't. I jog every morning. I do that a little bit. I foam roller a lot. And I actually have more mobility. You know, so the fact that I'm looking at my life differently is a rebirth. That's a new me. You know, it's a newer version of me looking at my life and saying, hey, my acceptance of my reality is my contentment. I mean, that's a new me. And then Mosher went on to this thing, and I give him total credit for the title. And he was talking about, you know, like in balance, you know, you wobble and you return. And with meditation, you know, he's like, he talks to a bunch of people about meditation. And I was like, oh, it's so hard. And it's like, well, you got to sit down and go, look, if your mind wanders, just return. And he goes, he started saying return. And I'm like, well, I've been saying return to zero, like with my body. It's like, I got a foam roller and return to zero. And then if I feel good, then I work out. And he was like, that word just really triggered me. It was like that return, like going back to. And he goes, just remember that, the returning, that's the important thing, you're returning. So in life, he goes, you're on that path. And when you know, you stray, just become aware. Hey, I started, you know, the monkey mind, you know, was kind of running wild, and I become aware of it. So now I'm going to return to center, return to the path, return to my focus, which is, you know, a return to your awareness. And when he said that, I was like, I'm gonna write that down. Return to awareness. I go, I just love how that sounded. And again, you go back 10 years and someone says, hey, return to awareness. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I mean, it wouldn't resonate at all with me. And now it's like a return I have used, and awareness, you know, aware and clarity, and be aware of yourself, aware of your choices, aware of your responses. You know, it's been a big word, but then again, just, you know, Magic Scotty just puts them together and just twisted my head around. And I just loved it. Completely fell in love with it. So I'm like, that's the title. That's the next one. And, you know, not trying to do a podcast, you know. I got to do one. I was just like, just taking notes and writing stuff down. And right when I wrote that down, I'm like, okay, that's the title. And I'm like, well, I think I got enough for a podcast. I'll put one out. And there was a thing happening right now, and it's making me look at some things, and I'm completely okay with it, which so was something I wanted to share. But last year, one of the big things that happened, February, March, was this virtual art festival that happened. And because it was virtual, they asked anybody, you know, a bunch of people around the world, and I was asked to participate. So I made a video, which was super cool, and I got to participate. I met some people, so I said, hey, I'm going to reach out to some artists, get them on my podcast. I was able to do that. When I was talking to them, I was so fired up. I was just digging it. I was talking to people I admired and respected. And I'm like, okay, the next year, you know, if they have it live, it's in Llano, it's in Texas. And I just kept thinking, it's like an 18-hour car drive with Zen, or flying with Zen, which I haven't done yet, but I, you know, but would be willing to do, but I haven't flown in like 7 years. So I'm not really fired up on flying. I don't really want to do all that. And then I was like, well, leave Zen here. And I just kind of kept thinking, like, there was no plan. I was like, oh, that's the one I'm leaning towards. It was just, I don't like that one. I don't like that one. And then about a month ago, I was thinking about it, going, well, I know it's coming up. And it was just as clear as day. I don't want a social gather. Like, I just, like, I could would completely for a day hang out with one or two of these artists. You know, I collect stones for them, you know, do it, put that there. Okay. You know what I mean? Just to hang out because I enjoyed their company and talking to them. But I was like, then that night, it's, oh, get together. We're going to this bar. We're all getting together. And then the next day, all day long. And then the next night, we all get together. And then, you know, because it's like, I think it's Friday to Sunday. A bunch of people have been there for a week or two preparing, and they make stuff. And there are artists that are invited, and I think they're put up and paid. But then anybody can kind of come and hang out for the 3 days. And again, it was like this part of me going, wow, I kind of feel part of that. You know, I participated. I've met some dudes. I'm doing art. And then, you know, all of a sudden it was the end of last year, and I was kind of like, I just don't want to go to the beach as much. I don't want to be doing it as much. And twice in a row, I was like, I'm not going to the beach. I had nothing planned. 2 days later, I was going. I'm like, yeah, I'm just not going to go. And I was like, okay. And I was totally okay with it. And it was like my higher self was going, look, we're going to slow down. We're going to focus on some different things. And we got to find the special in the beach again. So you're just not going to go for a while. And then you're going to go less. And you're going to find like a perfect time. I got this Tide app now that's just awesome. And last time I went to the beach, it was a Sunday, and I don't typically go on the weekends, but it hasn't really been low tide. And it was kind of like, you know, late morning. I'm like, I'm going to go. So I got there, relatively no traffic, and walked down, and boom, low tide. And it was like perfect timing. And I probably hung out for an hour, least amount I've ever done. But it started kind of getting a little cooler, and the wind picked up, and I was kind of did what I did. And I was like, cool. And I left, and I came back, and I'm like, that's just magical. Like, again, if you don't go as much, if you don't get drained, if you don't get tired of doing it. And then, you know, when I was way into it last year, I was going 2-3 times a week. Gas was cheap, less traffic because of COVID. You know, 2020, that's what it was. Not as much in 2021, but now gas is crazy. And, you know, traffic is back. And like I said, so when I sneak in a trip and there's little traffic, like I nailed it really good, and I check in the app and there's low tide, and I get to kind of do my thing, and come, like, that's all I needed. But I could just tell it was like, oh, I am now a land artist, and this is what I'm going, and let me get with that group, and let me identify. I was like, it's just not in me. Like, I'm not looking to attach to a group. I'm not looking to attach, label, identify myself, name myself, you know, join in or anything. I just really want to keep doing like exactly what I'm doing. this is the last thing, and I kind of saved it to share with Scotty. But we were talking, we were into stuff deep, and I just, like, I see people in a sense where I'm like, oh, they're being prepared. Like, everything that life is doing to them is leading them in the direction that they want to go based on the choices that they're making. But because they're in it, they can't see it. And so I just felt like this moment was a good time to share this story. And I said, Scott, you know, happened with my brother in Vegas, came for a cop test, and I was like, you're set? He goes, yep, I'm going to call a cab. And I went to the gym to train people, and he called me and said, the cab's not coming, I'm going to be late. And I was like freaking out because he flew to Vegas to take this cop test. So I drove home, picked him up. We were going to be late, and he was freaking out. And I just said, dude, just calm down. I go, it's not going to help you freaking out. I said, if you're calm, then, you know, and just chill right now, maybe you will that opportunity to still happen. And sure enough, he bit his lip. He calmed down. He didn't say a word. He was quiet the entire trip. Walked in. The door was open. It was like a gymnasium with like 400 or 500 people and someone speaking. And it was totally uncomfortable to walk in late to that. But he got in. And I was like, and literally that's 25 years ago. And I'm like, how one deals with the test directly correlates to the outcome of that test. And since then, I have done it numerous times to myself, countless, where to me that is a fact. That is a complete fact of life. And so I told Scott about, you know, the Zen thing. And I said, you know, I don't baby him. You know, I've only picked him up twice in his entire life. And the first time was when he got hurt and, you know, almost had to have surgery. I ended up having a splint put on for 3 months, and we couldn't go anywhere, couldn't go to the beach, couldn't run, couldn't go on long walks, couldn't play with dogs. I mean, it was, you know, but that was the most learningful time of my life because I slowed down and realized Zen was fine. It was me that was having a problem. And I learned how to slow down, and I learned how to do nothing, and I learned it was okay, and then my life started getting better. And I said, but there's just this, you know, one morning, woke up, and Zen was, you know, walking and limping and kept going, and I'm wiping his, and I'm doing everything I normally do. And then he stopped and looked at me, and I was like, that's that look you give me that you've only given me once before, like, yeah, I'm not walking. And we had only gone about a block and a half, barely. And I just picked him up and I walked home, and I was like, wow, here, you know, because whenever he would limp in the past, he'd step on something, get something stuck on his foot, like the heart would start beating. I'd wipe his feet, watch him walk. He'd walk normal, and okay. And, you know, went through that a bunch of times because I'm, like, hyper aware of when he limps because he was injured in the past. And then I'm like, okay, this is it, that, like, worst fear. And I just went to, like, well, why is it the worst fear? Why is it so bad? You're going to be okay. Zen's going to be okay. Whatever Zen gets through. And I told Scott. Scott's not a religious dude. And I said, it wasn't like I was praying, going, please help me. Please help. Let this not be happening. I was like, you know what? I'm going to handle this. I'm going to be okay. You know, I'm not given anything more than I can handle. I went through this once before. I don't care what it is this time. I'm going to go through it. And, you know, called the new vet because I got to go to a new one. And I know where it's at. And I found out it was open earlier than I thought. I had one client at 7. This was about 6 o'clock in the morning when it happened. And I just told Scott, I completely accepted and embraced that I was going to, you know, walk out the door after this client and take Zen to the vet and finish with my client, got my jacket on, got dressed, put all the stuff in my pockets, you know, got ready. And I'm like, Zen. And I'm like, he's going to walk towards me. He's going to limp. I'm going to pick him up and we're going to leave. And he walked towards me and he wasn't limping. I went, you know, that what dogs do when they tilt their head. And I went, durr. And I went, I backed up and I said, take a couple more steps. And he took a couple more steps and didn't limp. And so I opened the door and started kind of walking outside. I'm like, okay, let me see you walk a little bit. And he just comes walking out after me. And I'm like, you're not limping. He's like, no. And I'm like, okay. So he, you know, nothing happened last night and he woke up and he was limping. So something was wrong. He laid back down. It's not like I massaged him. We iced it. You know, we stretched it. He just laid back down. Okay, you can't walk. And then about an hour later, he got up and it's gone. And I said to Scott, and this is kind of like the point. I got emotional. I said, you know, I'm not trying to toot my horn or say I got some, you know, magical power. I said, I just feel strongly about that. I said, the faith that I have is that things will work out if I continue to focus on me. If I don't let that monkey mind run, I'm going to avoid a bunch of stress and panic and anxiety and fear and doubt. And right in that moment, it's like you kind of vibrate higher, and maybe you vibrate out of that position, but there's no explanation how Zen's just, well, I don't limp. And not after that much. I've had him 7 years. I've picked him up twice. You know what I mean? Like, there was no like, oh, okay, that was just another one of those times when, no. I wiped his feet. We walked. I did this. We walked. I touched his feet. I walked. I gave him a second. I mean, it was probably about 10 minutes of walking a very short distance. And it was very apparent he was not able to walk. And an hour later, it was gone. And it was kind of like, I don't really care how anybody takes that. I mean, take it your own way. Let it mean to you what it means to you. If it doesn't resonate, it doesn't. If it affects you, then yay. But it did to me. And it just reiterated what I'm always saying about how one deals with the tests. So it's controlling that mind, controlling the monkey mind, so you can contain and you know, maintain some sort of clarity and awareness in that moment. Like, oh, I lost my money clip. Wow, my heart's beating fast. Wow, I went right to panic. Wow, there's worry and everything just really happening right now. It's like, and then I was like, well, let me check my car and see if it fell out. And I felt a little bit better because I was like, well, I kind of went to like, well, what can I do? Well, I could look on the other side instead of sitting here and just going, oh, the bad's coming. And it wasn't bad. It was just uncomfortable. You know, time-consuming stuff. I got to go sit at the DMV. You know, I got to go to the bank and get another ATM card or whatever it is. You know, I got to go online. I got to do this stuff. But how it made me feel is what I was aware of. And this is kind of the cool thing and kind of to wind it up. But the returning. Like, I went through that and then I was fine. I went through that and then I was fine. This happened, took over the mind, but then I returned. You know, I returned to zero, and I just foam rolled. I'm like, you know, kind of scheduled workout today. It's Wednesday. And I'm like, well, I'm going to foam roller before the podcast, and I'm just going to try to see if I can get my, you know, body to return to zero. I think it's just from walking a lot, top of my legs, like my quads get super tight, and that affects my lower back, and I can just tell when that is. So I'm on my forearms, kind of in forearm plank on my foam rollers, foam roller on my thighs the majority of the time. Like, I'm there twice a day, three times a day on my front. And that's also how I figured out my shoulders were so tight. And, you know, because I'm sitting in forearm plank for, you know, a half an hour, twice a day sometimes. And I'm like, well, that's why those spots in your back and your shoulders. So I had to kind of come up with other stretches. But just being thankful and being present, it makes it easier for me to get through the day. How I don't worry about tomorrow is just having the faith that if I make myself the best version I can, whatever's coming, I'm going to be the best version of me to handle that. And like I said before, with like COVID, once COVID's gone, there's going to be something else. You know, it's not going to get a whole lot better. And then you got Ukraine. And I don't even know where to begin. You know, because COVID's like really not even talked about a whole lot now. Why? Because of that. And it's like, and this isn't going to be an easy fix. You know, Putin seems pretty locked into being crazy. And crazy just doesn't go away. And that's what I mean. It's not the gloom and doom. It's just if you're not enjoying today, if you're waiting for the world, life to get better so you can be content, it's just not a good call. You can be the best you today. You can be thankful. And you literally can enjoy your day of what you have you know, what, you know, your, just personally, what you have, who you're with, where you are. If you can control the space between your ears and be totally okay and not judgmental when you, you know, kind of get a little lost. Just have that phrase, I just need to return to awareness. And use that as a tool to get you through the day, because you are worth it. Hello, and welcome to your Pro You Moment. Stoked you're here. Another opportunity to be present, to control that which you can, and to start the day with a special moment. If we can sit on the floor, legs folded, fantastic. Eyes closed, neutral neck. Shoulders over your hips, navel tucked into the spine. We'll draw the inhale through the nose. We will allow the exhale out the mouth, slowing them down, elongating them, controlling them, staying connected. Connecting the mind and body. Blocking out all else, making us present. That is what should occupy the space between your ears. If anything else enters, kindly, calmly, ask it to leave. Return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Thank you. Bravo. Well done. Congratulations. Little things done consistently. The epitome of the pro you moment. You know, the thing that strikes me is how much I enjoy being me. And it's not because I go places. It's not because I have a bunch of people with me. It's not because I have a bunch of money. A special someone. I just like me. Because I like what's in my head. And I know that I did the work. So there's always that feel good. I got here because of me. The work I did. The effort I put in. And to be able to have the conversations that I have with Scott and feel the things I feel, experience what I experience, and then have the opportunity to share it on a podcast. Again, I am just consistently thankful every day. Again, not for all circumstances. I am consistently thankful in all circumstances. And I believe anyone can do this. It takes time and it takes energy. But those are two things that everyone has. It's just we do not know how much or how long we have. Peace and God bless.